Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
BT and Sal Show on the Fan, presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. You did watch that Diddy thing? We were just talking about that during the break.
Yeah, I did. Well, I watched the first part. I think there's four.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm going to dive into is it four? I'm the football game. Yeah.
You have to watch the football game.
It's actually a big game before anybody, but this is a game that I actually want to watch.
I'm excited for this Cowboys-Lions game for sure. Yeah, we watched the first episode, and it was, I think, an hour or so. It must have, you know, I think it's 50 Cent who put this together. It's raw. Now we start getting into the Tupac stuff, which goes into episode ends with that, as that union begins with Biggie and maybe a little jealousy, and then now I'll see what happens in episode two.
How long is each episode?
About an hour, 5 minutes. I mean, it's got some meat to it. What I loved about the first one is that, and of course I knew this, but the footage is unreal. And Hoff, you'll appreciate this because you went to Stepanek. That's a good question. Like a lot of home videos when he started throwing parties, back in the day in the late 80s, early 90s, like they went into the relationship. Like his dad was a Bronx gangster, hustler. You know, his mom was throwing wild parties. The Knicks used to go to the house. Like,
this is real? Like no AI?
No, this is real. And the reason I say Hoff, I mean, maybe he won't, I don't know, but I think he'll enjoy this element a little bit. He went to Stepanek. I went to Xavier Catholic High School. He went to Mount St. Michael. Did he? And I knew that, but some of the footage from him at Mount St. Michael is, I don't know where they got this footage from, but it's footage I've never seen. It's incredible. It's really good.
It popped up last night. That and, what's the David Letterman show on Netflix?
Oh, with Sandler. I want to see that sit down. Yeah, I saw that last night, too.
My Next Guest? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I love David Letterman.
That's your boy.
So my two favorites, Dave Letterman and The Sandman. Yes, I cannot wait to watch that. Although I guess there's a new season coming out. So I went to check the new season.
Of Letterman's interviews?
Yeah, my Next Guest. What the hell is the name of that show?
I think that's what it is. Something with the guest. Yeah, I think you're right.
Anyway, so I guess the new season's going to be released soon. But that one episode with Sandler is already out there because it came up in like the top 10. Go ahead, Hoff.
My Next Guest needs no introduction.
There you go. Thank you. My Next Guest needs no introduction. The title of my show does, apparently, because I can't remember it. But I just love Letterman and the beard and all that
stuff. You like Letterman more than I do. I know he's a genius, but I was never a huge... I just thought he was kind of a jerk when the cameras went off.
So that and the Diddy thing, yes, that's high on the list.
Hey, we got some time coming up, so we can take
it. Will you stop with that? Speak for yourself, man. I got SNY tonight. Here's the thing. My wife last night, I went to play back the stuff from our show, the 3RQ.
Oh, look at you trying to get brownie points.
Bingo, you nailed
it. Nice, it worked.
But as I'm going through the 3RQ, the second one was not very good.
Is that what you said? You barely care about what she's doing, let alone
correct.
Her friend's plans?
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder why that
bothered
her.
So we were listening to that, but she sat there patiently, and then we got to the third one, and I could see that she was, you know, enjoying it or emotional about it, whatever. But the number one thing that she said, she didn't even say, like, she just sat there and listened to it.
Okay.
And then she says at the end of it, I like that BT said I'm a pit bull.
There you go.
That was the takeaway? I told you I'd choose you over anybody else. Like, God forbid I say one little thing about having to go to a party at the in-laws' house or do something with her and Sammy on the weekend. I get ripped apart. Oh, how could you badmouth me on the radio? Blah, 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 blah. I go on yesterday, profess my love. I'd rather have nobody else. You're my partner. Times of need, I need you. And her takeaway is, I'm glad BT called me a pit bull.
One throwaway line.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, jeez. What are we doing here?
My wife said that she saw listened to that segment, too, and she said, I heard you say when they were making fun of what's the worst thing about the wives.
Yeah.
And they asked, Pete, do you want to participate? I said, oh, of course.
Yeah.
And that's all she heard.
We didn't ask you about that.
You jumped in so eagerly, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was not very happy.
You want to hop in now and give us your the best thing about being married? Because we didn't give you that opportunity.
No comment.
Long list, short list, new story, old story.
BT and Sal, the Fan, 888-808-1019. Mike is in Jersey City talking about the Yanks. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Before I make my point on the Yankees, I just want to say thank you to both of you. Guys are always good to your fans, and I do appreciate that. We all do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lifelong Yankee fan, people are talking about these offseason moves and what's it going to be. If you listen to what Hal said, if you listen to what Cashman said, you don't have to be Dick Tracy to read between the lines. There's not going to be any real significant moves. They're going to try and make some nice minor adjustments. They're going to run the team that they have back out there, and it's going to be another good, not great season. And BT, you went to Catholic school.
Yes.
Exactly what they tell you about purgatory in Catholic school. It's not bad. It's not great either. It's not hell. It's not heaven. It could be a lot worse. Could be a little better. We're in purgatory.
I totally get where you're going, but I think what the Yankees give us is a little bit better than baseball purgatory, Mike. I think you're selling them short.
Well, I think it's interesting because from a Mets fan perspective, or whatever, pick a team that hasn't had the sustained success that the Yankees have, you would want that next level. It's like what we talk about with the Giants. Okay, you want McCarthy because you want to raise the floor from where it's been. Forget about the Super Bowl dreams for now. Just get us to the consistent, sustained success level. Then from there, we'll talk about the next thing. So I know every Mets fan wants to see them win the World Series, and there's no reason to believe why they couldn't at some point soon, especially based on the resources. They have to get to a level of sustained success no matter what that the Yankees have been at forever. So the Yankees' expectations are beyond the sustained success. They've had it for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next? The only thing that's next beyond the ultimate sustained success, 90-plus wins, postseason every single year, the only thing above that is to win world championships.
Is to be a champion again. Yeah, no, I get that. But like the way the caller framed it, playing off the purgatory example, you know, that's to me, that's like, all right, baseball purgatory is a big market. So, you know, you're going to have a good payroll and at least a decent roster. And you continuously win 88, 89 games. You really never win divisions. You go to the wild card. You get bumped out early. The Yankees were in the World Series 2 years ago.
That's what I'm saying.
So imagine if the Giants were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Right.
I mean, I know you didn't win it. It
wouldn't be as nuts as it's been for a long time. I'm not saying I would rather be the Yankees than the majority of other teams.
Me too.
But
I'd rather be the Dodgers the most right now.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And it used to be you'd rather be the Yankees. That's where we have a hard time with that. Mark is calling from Syosset about those football Giants. What's up, Mark?
Good afternoon, guys. First, I want to wish you both all the best going forward, whatever that is, because it's enjoyable to listen to me talking sports every morning.
Thank you.
That's the first thing. And I just have 2 points on the Giants, one on the coach, one on the GM.
All right, let's go. What do you got?
To the coach, Sal, I can't disagree with you more about Bill Belichick. I think Bill Belichick, not only is the game passed him by a bit, but he also brings with him drama that the Giants will not need with regards to the girlfriend and all this other nonsense that comes along with Belichick at this point. That's the first point. And I, like I said, I think that Mike McCarthy is the best choice. I agree with BT. I think he's shown a winning, he knows how to win. And as a Giant fan, all we want is to win football games. And I think we have a better chance. And as far as the end turn, I really think they have to let go of Joe Sheen. Because if they're a dumpster here like they are now, you're going to have to fire him then. And that GM is going to want his own coach. So we're right back where we started. And it would remind me of what happened with the Jets when they kept alternating GM coach. You have to bring in both at the same time.
Clean start.
Bringing in a coach.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We got right there. You got a little feedback there. Clean start. So you want what I want. He doesn't like Belichick. He likes McCarthy. And by the way, I know McCarthy is not perfect. I've always said that. You know, if you build a home, you know, before you slap down the, I don't know, $1,000 brass door handle, if you could afford it at the front door, or whatever luxury little tiny item to top off the cherry on the home might be, you got to build the foundation. You got to have walls, man. You got to put sod down or at least try to grow grass so it's not just dirt patches. Like, there's got to be steps before that one last cosmetic, which is the Super Bowl, clearly. So I'm willing to build the walls, put down some floors, build a nice little island, you know, get a little decor here, and then worry about the brass doorknob at the end when I know that there's a stable structure.
You look at McCarthy as a program builder.
I do. I do. I think he's going to come in right now. I think his press conferences, well, he'll be in command. I said this the other day. If you can handle now, the Dallas media is not like this media, but Jerry's presence is a lot more than anybody, let alone Mr. Mara, who's relatively low profile for the most part. So if you can coach in Dallas and win a few games, I think he was only 9-8, but he didn't go 2-15. He went 9-8 when Dak got hurt. So you proved to me that you could string something together when your star quarterback is out, and you could deal with the media because your owner's going out there after every single game holding the press conference like he's the Beatles. So you got to deal with that nonsense and going on the morning show with, you know, with my buddy RJ Choppy, RJ and Sean, you know, those guys out there, sister station in Dallas, going on the radio show every single week doing these, you know, these ridiculous 30-minute interviews where you're getting content that is just making McCarthy's world a nightmare. If he can handle that, yes, I do believe he can handle this and stabilize it.
I'm just looking over the Cowboys franchise index, and it actually has not been as bad as it may seem. There was a lot of the 8-8s with Jason Garrett, okay?
Yep.
But then Garrett went 12-4. All right, rough year, 4-12 following that. That was probably the injury. Was that Romo at the time? Yeah, they probably lost.
Yeah, that was Romo.
Yeah, had Matt Castle. Anyway, so let's start with Garrett's best year, 2014.
Okay.
12-4.
It's good.
Then Romo gets hurt, so forget that. 13-3, 9-7, 10-6, 8-8.
That's good. It's pretty good football. That's going the wrong direction.
But still.
Yeah.
Then McCarthy comes in and took over. 6-10.
All right.
And I forget the exact circumstance. And then 3 straight 12-5.
There we go.
Before 7-10. My point is, he didn't take over a program that was in the abyss the way the Giants are. He's actually never done that because he didn't do that with the Packers either. The Packers have always been just a nice transition.
True, for sure. You got the quarterback for 15 years. Yeah. Next guy up, let's go.
So I'm not knocking him. It's not a demerit. Well, you only went 12-5 and couldn't get the Cowboys over the hump in the playoffs. But the reality is, he took a team. Specifically, he took that team over to get them over the hump. And he couldn't do that in the postseason. So do I know for sure he's going to elevate the Giants? I think he's a very good football coach. His record says that he is. But this is also an undertaking that
he has never done.
Correct.
That's very fair. But let me ask you this now. In the recent, somewhat recent, where you and I don't mean 50s, 60s, 70s, even into the early 80s, somewhat recent, that you and I would both know. Name the program builder in the NFL. I know a lot of program builders in college.
Right.
I could rattle off a bunch of those guys. In the NFL, outside of Parcells, who did it with the Jets, did it with the Giants, did it with the Pats, did it with Dallas to an extent, there's not many of those though.
Well, I mean, you know the names. It's the same names. Andy Reid, obviously.
All right, so Andy Reid.
The Harbaughs.
Oh, okay. So Andy Reid.
Specifically Jim.
Jim, specifically. Yeah, because when he went to San Francisco, they were awful. Jim, yes.
It's wherever they go. It's wherever they go, clearly the team gets better. I mean, Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel, I think,
I forget the exact situation he took over in Tennessee, but
I think he won 10. It was either 10 or 11 games in a row, 3 years in a row.
Right.
So, but I forget exactly what they were before that. That's what I'm trying to recall as well.
Sean Payton. I mean, come on, he built New Orleans up.
Sean's one. Sean's a good one.
You know what I mean?
I'm not saying there's none. I just want to kind of go through it.
There are some. And I'm with you that, you know, it used to feel like there were more of those guys, maybe more retreads, whatever. It's not that you definitively need it. I'm just saying that there's a part of me, even Gruden, I would look at him as a guy who had success with the Raiders building that up, leaving and then taking the Bucs over the hump.
But the Bucs were good. He won with somebody else's players.
Correct, but he got them over the hump to where Dungy couldn't do that.
But he didn't build it. Because we're talking about building it up.
Maybe not building, but I guess elevating. if not building, elevating the franchise to another level.
Taking the baton and finishing the race.
Gruden elevated the Raiders in the beginning.
He
and
did.
And then he elevated the Bucs when he got there.
Yep. Yeah.
And now, look, you could counter and say, well, what is Belichick? What did he build up? Because he took over a New England situation that was pretty good when Parcells left. Now he
Bledsoe was there. I know, but he did pretty good. Terry Glenn, pretty good.
But he did build it into a dynasty.
Well, I know. But that's why he's Belichick. Yeah, I mean, he's one of one.
And he's also, you're right, he's Belichick. So it's not, when you put in other coaches' names, you can say, well, what have they done? Okay, well, this is Bill Belichick. We're talking about the greatest head coach, arguably, of all time.
I don't even really think there's debate myself. You want to say Lombardi, whatever, but just to be fair, it's him. The only thing is, and I'm going to nitpick here, when we say, well, it's Belichick, and I just said it, so I get it. It's Belichick, but is it still Belichick? It's like one thing to say.
We don't know.
That's my concern, and I don't think it is.
And there's reason to believe it's not. Boom. There's evidence that, forget about the girlfriend, there's evidence to say that it might not be.
Correct.
That's a risk I would be willing to take. You would not. Mm-hmm. BT and Sal on the Fan. Annabelle is calling from Bridgeport, Connecticut. What's up, Annabelle?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thank you for taking my call.
Yep, you got it.
I've spoken with you guys before. I got a question for you guys. Let's say if the Mets sign Monicani.
Who?
Okay.
Tommy, yes.
He plays third base.
That's funny. Hop said he thought you said Manigault. Although he really said Manicotti.
Yeah.
You can't say it Manicotti. Yeah. You got to say Manigault. No, but I know what he means.
Manigault, that was very funny, man. BT, that you said
Manigault.
Oh, my God.
It was Hop's line, so maybe that's why it was good.
Go ahead, Hannibal.
All right. Check this out. If the Mets bring him in, what are the chances of the Mets trying to get back Pete Alonso or sign Carl Schwarber?
If they bring in Murakami, probably none. And thank you for the call, Annabelle. Why would you bring in Murakami and have it be redundant with Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber? That makes no sense.
Yeah.
I also, we talked about it yesterday with Schwarber.
Too many non-athletes in that group there. I'm not loving that trio.
Pick one.
Yeah, yes.
And that's it. And for me, Pete would be that one. I'm over Schwarber at this point.
I'm not. I think he's going to bang for years,
look
man.
Look at his strikeouts,
I know.
Man. And he can't play. At least Pete is a, to me, more well-rounded offensive player and can play first base a little bit, which could open up the DH spot for some versatility, flexibility within the lineup.
I'm not going to debate that. You know, we said about Pete defensively. We know the good debate. Okay. Ninth inning, you're in LA. Ninth inning, you're down in Philly. Ninth inning, you're in Atlanta or you're at City against Atlanta's closer. Who do you want up? You want Schwarber or Pete?
Soto. You don't need Pete.
Let's say Soto's on base. Soto did his job and Soto's on base as usual. Yeah. Who do you want, Schwarber or Pete? I'll take Schwarber.
I'll take Pete. I mean, I think you could.
Do you really mean that? The way you said it, you're usually more convicted when you say things.
Pete's
do you really believe that?
Pete's had big moments in the postseason.
I know. Yeah, as Devin Williams is maybe new teammate.
As has Schwarber. Wow. I don't think that there's enough of a difference to me. And also, look at Schwarber this postseason. Hey, the Phillies have been the poster boys for failing in the playoffs the last couple of years. The Mets, the 2024 Mets, the OMG Mets bounced them in four games.
Those scrappy Mets.
Yeah, right. Iglesias. They bounced them in four games. And then this year, another disappointment. So I'm not, and pay attention to sports talk in Philly. They were looking at Bryce Harper and Schwarber not being clutch enough down the stretch.
But then think about, they might be saying the same thing about us. Like, what are these idiots up north, up in New York saying about the Pete Alonso?
Right. I mean, I'll take the known commodity here. I'm not knocking Schwarber. 4 years ago to me, or whatever it was when he signed that deal initially with the Phillies, that would have been the time to get him. Now, I would rather have Alonso.
All right, so the strikeouts are insane. We understand that.
Like, and bad, insane. Leading the league.
He led the league, you know, in 2022 and 2023, back-to-back, over 200. That's
Kills you in the postseason. Yankees,
yeah, it does. A lot of empty at-bats. Yeah. That's true. And then in the last 2 years, 197 and 100. So basically strikes out 200 times every year. I understand that, right? He's going to hit more home runs than Pete.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be on base more than Pete. And, you know, the batting average has gotten after a couple of frightening.
Come on, he's
no, I'm not.
Yeah. .293, .214.
Last year was .240, and the year before that was .250.
Ooh, right.
Rod Carew now batting for the Mets. Here's Wade Boggs, Suzuki with the basic. Yeah. But I'm just saying that because while .250 is nothing to applaud, or .240, obviously, split the difference, say .245, the amount of time he's on base, which is .360, .370, which dwarfs Pete's on base percentage. I'm not the guy who says batting average means nothing. You know that. We've worked together long enough. You know that. But when the power is more clear, the selectivity at the plate in terms of being on base is clearly in the favor of Schwarber, I'll take the lower the lower average and more strikeouts myself. Now, if Keith Hernandez at first base or Dom Mattingly or even Rico Bronya, there you go, Evan Huff, or Olerud, it's different. He's not.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
Yeah! I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I love talking baseball and Hall of Famers and all that stuff and diving into the numbers at least once a year.
My favorite thing, dude.
Yeah, we do it around around Hall of Fame time usually, so it happens once a year. So the reason why I even wanted to do this, I saw a story, I guess, yesterday that somebody who had an actual vote handed in their ballot. Did you see this?
I did not see this.
With one name selected and one name only.
Now, of all the years, quick reaction, of all the years where you could probably justify that, I don't think it's outlandish on the surface. It's a weak ballot.
Agreed. Who do you think that one name was?
The one name should be either, well, are they going to stay? Okay. Put the steroid guys aside for a moment.
Yeah.
All right, because it could be one of them, although it might not. I would say it would be Beltran or Pettit.
Neither.
Okay, then A-Rod or Manny.
Neither.
David
Wright.
Wow.
One
voter.
I love
David Wright, but that makes no sense.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Initially, I saw it, and I was like, But then if you have to have a thought process as an individual voter. And if your thought process is, well, I'm not voting for the PED guys. That eliminates two of the prime guys on the ballot.
Yep.
The only one for me that was odd to leave off would be Beltran. I look at Beltran and say on this list, definitively, I don't know how you could watch baseball the years that Carlos Beltran played and not think he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, look at the numbers. Look at the way that he played. Switch hitter, gold glove defender, center field, big power numbers.
Like October hero? I don't know if you said that.
Yeah, to me, I did not say that. No. To me, watching Carlos Beltran, it's clear he was a Hall of Famer. Multiple teams, longevity, all that stuff.
You have to sell me, no doubt.
But I guess the case would be if you're penalizing A-Rod and Manny, mm-hmm. even though they're PEDs, maybe you look at Beltran as a cheater because of the garbage can.
That was as a coach.
I'm just saying. No, he was still a player on that
was
team.
Was he still playing at that? Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure he was still playing on the team.
I could be wrong on that. Okay, yeah. He was. He was, that's right.
But it was one of the, like, he was a reserve at that point.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that may be the logic there. So if that's your logic and you're ruling out all the potential quote-unquote cheaters, whatever, I could see how you want to say, you know what, I'm going to give a good guy who played the game with honor, played the game hard, at his peak, put up big numbers for a third baseman.
Yeah.
I could understand it. It's not what I would do, but at least I could. I don't think it was as outlandish as it may seem on initial thought.
Well, listen, you know me. I mean, I understand that he just passed the straw man, and if he sticks around, 400, 500 home runs. I know historically what Pete is flirting with is a lifetime Met, provided he remains here. But I think it's laughable when I hear people say that, and a lot of people I respect and like respect their baseball opinions, they very easily reach for that statement. Ah, Pete's the best position player in Mets history. No, he's not. It's David Wright. That's just my opinion. But I mean, David Wright was faster. He's a better fielder. You know, he's just whatever. I think David Wright is phenomenal. I always will love and always support David Wright. One of my all-time favorite Mets by far. The problem is, I don't think this is the ballot to do it. I think the case would be like a Mattingly or Hernandez now on the other ballot.
Right.
When they, you know, the veterans, and even that name has changed, whatever the hell you call that. Hopefully both of our guys get in. In years, if we're debating David Wright
for veterans committee.
Yeah, well, but I thought it was even different than the, either way, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think if David Wright is on that, and he will because he won't get in conventionally, then let's fight the fight for David Wright. Not now. Not on this ballot.
I do think there is an argument to be made, especially when you look at Scott Rolen getting in. And I personally love David Wright more than any Met that I've ever loved before, like on a personal level. Forget about it as a fan, because as a fan, Beltran to me was always the best player. Wright was supposed to be that guy. But personally, I think he is a Hall of Fame person.
Yes, he is.
No doubt about
it. His documentary was awesome on SNL.
Oh,
I loved it. Seen him coach his kids. He's great.
I did not put him on my ballot.
Me neither.
I tried to eliminate that. So how many did you come up with? You can vote for as few as zero and max 10.
I got 4.
Wow.
It's a light ballot, dude. This is not a good ballot at all.
I went 5.
All right, so what made it seem like you had 9 more?
I thought you would be more...
Really? More lenient, yes. More liberal with this?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I thought
okay.
So.
No, if anything, I'm a tough grader.
All right, so go down the list left in order. Who's your first one on there?
Beltran.
Okay, me too. So we agree on Carlos Beltran. Mm-hmm. Where's your next one?
Felix Hernandez.
Me too.
Okay, here we go.
We're thinking the same thing. Now, let me just explain that a little bit, because I did look up his numbers to back it up.
The numbers are a little light, but we've got to have some rationale.
Yeah, no. But they're a little light. So when I'm doing this, my rationale for voting would be, okay, initial gut instinct. I watched them play. The feel around it. We're not watching every start from Felix Hernandez. Felix Hernandez, at his peak, you felt it. You knew King Felix and how dominant he was. That, to me, is Hall of Famer. It should start from there. And then I start to think of some of the other guys who were in. Mike Mussina comes to mind. I know there are plenty of others. And I'm like, God, Felix Hernandez was way more dominant. Mussina was good.
Yeah.
Felix Hernandez was dominant. So, and now, by the way, now that we think this through, I probably know where our one discrepancy is.
Okay.
But I have King Felix on there, and you look up the numbers, and he had just years of dominance, dude, and just 200 innings, 200 innings.
Horse.
So,
horse.
Yeah, absolute horse.
He was Cy Young. He's got a couple of ERA titles, 6-time All-Star. Now, and listen, he's in, but for those dissenters, well, no 21 seasons. Okay, whatever. And this is a little disconcerting for me, though I still give him the nod. His high was 19, then he had 18, but then it dropped. His third most wins ever was 15. Even the year that he won the Cy Young, I think he had 12 or 11 or 12. It was very, very low. That was a big debate there. I look at it this way. Number one, just in any candidacy here, as I look at, as I jump in and I see a name, if I have to do research, which is rare because I almost have an immediate reaction. But if I don't, volume of stats, right, or your impact, your place in the game.
Yeah.
And that's why Mattingly should be in for me and some others. But King Felix for a bunch of years was a stud.
All right, who's your third one?
Andrew Jones should be in.
Wow, he's not on there. So
wow.
We have a different discrepancy.
I got to sell him. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, so first of all, now, he doesn't have the magic number for 500 home runs. He's got 434. And there was a fairly dramatic drop from his prime years, okay, to, you know, when he was bouncing around, playing for the Yankees for a minute as well, and some other teams. But when you look at the 10 gold gloves, I saw highlights of Willie Mays, and obviously I saw Griffey in real time. I don't think I've ever seen a more impressive center fielder defensively than Andrew Jones. I really mean that. And he had easy power, not 500, but easy power, and he was on an elite team. I know he never won the World Series, but I mean, every year the Braves were a power. And I remember when he was 19 years old, hit two bombs against Pettit in the World Series, Game 1, 96, youngest to do that, to homer in the World Series since Mickey Mantle. I mean, there's just too many checks in this man's column. So for me, Andrew Jones is a Hall of Famer. But
and actually,
I understand the resistance.
Yeah, just you know what? I left him off with the initial feel. And I used to love him as a player, especially in 96 in the World Series when he first came up.
Of course you did.
10-time, yeah, well, 10-time Gold Glover. That was definitely a part of it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, I just pulled it up now, the power numbers consistently.
434. Almost 450 home runs.
Yeah, year after year. And
nothing about a slap hitting center fielder.
And I'm assuming he did it clean in the midst of a steroid era. That probably is a mistake on my part, leaving him off, but nonetheless.
So we could be 3-for-3 is what we're saying.
Who's next on your list?
Pettit.
Yeah, I left him off.
Okay. So
we're way off here. We're not in.
Okay.
I had a little X next, so I wanted to put him on.
Yep.
Postseason, yes. Dynasty Yankees, yes. Big game, yes. Couldn't justify it looking at the lack of black on the baseball reference.
You know, for a long time I was in that camp. The more I thought about this and the more I've seen others get in, you know, this is a while ago, but like a Don Sutton. You know, I didn't see Don in his prime, but I know all the numbers. Even Burt Blylevin, come on. Some of these other fairly pedestrian pitchers that they opened the doors up for. Number one, you know, Andy Pettit won 62% of the games he ever started. Yeah. That is insane. Number two, he got over 250 wins. Number three, he's a 5-time World Series champion. Now, I ask not only every Yankee fan, I ask every baseball fan in this city hearing this right now if you're old enough. How many games did Andy Pettit get the ball? And I don't even mean in the World Series. I mean like series before that. I know he got roughed up against the Diamondbacks. He had a few duds as well. Yankees down 0-1, short series, Pettit on the hill game two. Must deliver a gem, or the Yankees are down 0-2. He did it a lot. So to me, and the more I think about this, I didn't always feel this way. I think that as time has gone on, I'm not just saying this because he's a Yankee. You know that about me by now. I actually think that he might get the most disrespect in terms of being ignored and glossed over and marginalized and minimized. I would vote for Pettit.
Yeah, I would. If you asked me years ago, I would say yes based on postseason. Hard to justify that. So I ruled out all that stuff and just went, okay, give me your gut. Who's Hall of Fame player? So who'd you leave off here? Of the
everybody.
Who's your last one left?
No, I got four. Didn't I say I had four?
You had four, and I had five.
Yes.
So that's it?
Yeah. You have five, I have four.
So
you have somebody that I don't, and you don't have Pettit.
I have three people that you don't.
Okay, we agreed on Beltran, we agreed on Felix, we could have agreed on Jones. Now hit me with the differences with you.
Manny, A-Rod,
okay,
and K-Rod.
You know what? K-Rod?
Yeah.
Come on, K-Rod. Dude,
are you kidding me?
Get the hell out of here,
for a closer? What do you mean, get the hell out of here?
Give me some numbers.
I'll give you some of the numbers. First of all, forget the numbers. You remember at his peak,
he was unhittable for a couple of years. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about that.
Led the league in saves. 45, 47, 62.
I got to look this
in
up.
In between there, he had 40. 35, 25, 23 at that point, started to dip off a little bit.
Okay.
Career ERA, 2.86.
That's almost three. I mean, it's not.
Okay,
it's good.
But for a reliever?
Well, reliever should be lower because you're doing Eckersley, Mariano, Bruce Sutter, Gossage.
What are their careers?
I mean, Mariano's like two, whatever. Anyway, nobody's Mariano. Unfair.
Forget Mariano. I'm talking about if you're judging him based off of a reliever, closers, K-Rod was he's certainly more dominant than Lee Smith. And if now, even Hoffman, I'd rather have K-Rod at his peak than I would Trevor Hoffman.
I always thought Trevor Hoffman was overrated. I don't love a closer whose best pitch is a changeup. Well, as I say that, good luck with Devin Williams. But I want a guy throwing cheese, like cheese. I really do.
Three top five Cy Young Award finishes.
I know. That's really good. My problem now.
You maybe just don't like closers. Like, I'm looking at
I do. I'm okay with closers. I have no problem. Like Bruce Sutter. I'd have to look at Lee Smith's numbers a little bit more, but it was also a very different game. My thing about K-Rod, my initial reaction was like, what? I know he was sick. I didn't realize the exact. I knew there was like 60-something. It was 62 as you said it. I knew he had a couple of years that were just off the charts. I knew that.
And his ERA should be even better, but his later, he had some bad years.
Well, but that's part of the resume. That's his fault, not my fault.
I'm going based on the peak. That's what I'm looking at.
Like a Mattingly kind of thing.
Correct. Yeah.
Fair enough. I look, though. And from fairly inconsequential his first 2 years, when you look at his first good year at the age of 22 and in 2004, 04, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 are his really good years. And he's a four-time All-Star. And then from that point on, and he plays 9 more years. Doesn't really do anything.
Why no Manny or A-Rod for you?
You know what? I glossed over that. I've said for a long... But you know what? I'll tell you why. Because I didn't see Bonds on the thing. Like, I am at the point, put them all in. I don't mean Sosa. I don't think Sosa was that. I saw him with the White Sox. I saw that. Playing against the Yankees before Interleague, skinny, playing right field. Those old White Sox, I can still see him playing right field in the Bronx. Not that guy. Steroids made Sosa. Steroids or PEDs, HGH enhancements, did not make Bonds, did not make A-Rod. Even they made McGuire more, but even with they had 49 home runs.
I put him in the Hall of Fame too.
I'd be too. Yeah. So because I didn't see Bonds' name, maybe I didn't take it as seriously as I should have. Do I think Alex should be in? I do. Do I think Bonds should be in? I do. Do I think Clemens should be in? No doubt. Do I think Bonds should be in? Yes.
DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Larry is calling from Cranford, New Jersey. What's up, Larry?
You guys are going to be missed. Sorry that we're not going to be able to tune into you.
Well, you will, just not here.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, thanks.
Right. Is that the best way to say that?
That's the only way to say it at this point.
That's kind of what I meant.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
The New York Yankees need such a change of face and voice and approach. I'm talking about Aaron Boone. And I know he's going to be around, I guess, for this coming season, but the team desperately needs, and I think the fans desperately need, a whole new thing. I don't know if you agree with that, but...
I don't, but listen, Larry, I understand why some people would say that. I don't agree with that because I don't see the message not getting through enough to justify moving on from Aaron. There's an expiration point for everybody.
I was just going to say, he's got to win, though, this year.
Yeah, I get it. I understood. Not running from that.
I would have moved on from Cashman and Boone years ago. Not Boone's fault, but just because of a change of direction.
Yeah.
If they're going to keep doing the same thing, somebody eventually is going to have to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's Cashman, then it's going to be both. But if it's not going to be Cashman...
Here's the problem.
I'm not saying he's at fault.
I get it. Sure. And by the way, Boone's not perfect. Yeah. We know that.
Right.
Come on. But I think he's pretty good. And, you know, you talk about...
He'd get a job in a second, too.
Whether it's on TV, whether it's in a dugout. I know. He'd be hired. I agree with that. So Let me just warn every Yankee fan that wants Boone gone. The way what the Yankees have morphed into, do you really think that they're going to hire the kind of manager, quote-unquote, that you really want, that's quote-unquote opposite of Boone? Now, Aaron, whether it's with John Boyd, whether it's you and I a little bit, he's really pushed back on the analytics. And, you know, if he was blatantly lying, he would have been called for it because he specifically named other teams. The Orioles, teams in the division, the Yankees are the least, according to Aaron, but I believe him, the least analytically reliant and driven team in the American League East. Okay, if you want to accept that or not, that's fine. That's up to you. But when eventually the Yankees are going to hire a new manager, when they do, do you think they're going to bring in somebody like Billy Martin or Joe Girardi?
No.
The answer is no.
Obviously not.
So at least Aaron Boone, even though he's not perfect, to me, is a really good mixture of old school authority, at least with the umpires and, you know, a little red ass in them, right? You know, new age understanding of which is not so much new, not that new anymore, the numbers and the modern analytics. And I think he's a good balance of temperament, and I think he's a great balance of temperament in this city, which does matter.
And he applies the data exceptionally well.
Now you just get to take this one out the door, aren't you? You should text him, see if they need somebody to join the Department of Dons here.
Already did.
No, you didn't.
Already did. And he didn't, you know, you were out the day that I, on Halloween.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I was the only one to show up for work that day, and not just this show.
Hey, I show up a lot. Yeah. I don't take batting practice like Goff does. But then again, I wasn't invited.
Well, I'm talking about Evan and that show either. But anyway, I was here in full costume on Halloween, and I'm not sure Booney loved my costume that day.
Did you actually text him and say, do you have a job? You didn't actually say that. Did you really?
What no, I'm say? Just saying he didn't love
it. No, I understand.
Yeah.
Did he get back to you? Did he let you know he didn't appreciate it? The answer is yes. I don't blame him.
What? Come on.
Why don't you get dressed up like Mendoza, who fumbled his bullpen all year, won 83
don't
games? You get another guy who won 94 and was in the World Series the year before?
It was the caller called up with the Yankee Department of Nerds, and I was like, you just nailed it. This is brilliant. D-O-N, I'm stealing it. I'm the one who started the data applicator stuff, which is not a knock. It's today's day and age. Everybody's applying that data. Mendy's got to apply the data. Boone's got to apply the data. Everybody applies the data. They're not managers. They're the data applicators. That's where it came from. But Boone is I agree with you, all kidding aside. He's a fiery competitor. He's a baseball lifer. It's not his fault the way the Yankees organization operates. However, it is the New York Yankees. It is New York. If you don't win a championship.
Yeah. I'm not pushing back on that.
Yeah, that's
Amen.
The only thing.
I get it. I get that part.
He would be the... Of all the issues, he's the least of the issues.
I've said that too.
But he's the manager, and those guys have bullseyes on their back. Aaron is calling from Australia. What's up, Aaron?
Wow, Australia.
Hey mate. Hey, Sal. Yeah. How you going, mate? Been a while since I've called.
What's going on? Are you sure this isn't Gio with his general manager of the Nets impersonation? What's going on, Aaron?
Yeah, mate. I'm a Mets fan from way back. I called Sal when he's on the overnights about 2 years ago, and we had a conversation about it, and yeah, I just... Obviously,
call me in a couple weeks.
Caught up with the news.
Guys can talk all day.
A little while, mate. Yeah, it's been, you know, you're hard to get through to, but I don't know whether the phone lines down here are stuck or what. But yeah. Man, look, I heard the news and I've watched you guys from the start. I thought you guys have been fantastic. It's been such a funny show. I drive around at West Australia a lot listening to you guys on the podcast. And, you know, I drive for hours. So you doing 4 hours is always really, really handy. And man, there's been times when I wanted to almost drive off the road. You've had me in stitches.
Very nice of you. We appreciate that.
No pity. We're really happy for you guys. Wherever you go, we'll be following you. Wanted to just throw some Mets stuff at you, Sal.
Yeah.
Look, I found it interesting that you guys were talking beginning of the year about construction of the teams. Yankees did it one way. They did it about pitching. You know, the Mets did it another way. And obviously the Yankees were coming up. What changes Mets-wise to their structure? I know everyone's talking about Bellinger and Tucker and all these sorts of things, but from a pitching perspective, outside of Valdez, I'm not really hearing a lot about how they're going to fix the pitching. You know, and that, I think, to me, is really important for them. What do you reckon? Who do they pivot to if Valdez doesn't come off? Who's next? Who can the Mets go and get we can know, Sal, that they got a five-man rotation that we can trust?
Aaron, thank you so much for the call and for your support. That really means a lot to us.
I'm in Australia, dude. That's pretty wild.
We appreciate the loyal listening and downloading the podcast, all that stuff. There are some rumblings. There was a report today from the Post about the Mets being interested in Joe Ryan. There's a thought with Freddie Peralta being available potentially from the Brewers. I would be okay with either one of those guys. plus a free agent signing. I don't even want Valdez. I want Ranger Suarez. Okay. And then from there, Amai would be my guy. So if you could add either Ryan or Peralta and Ranger Suarez, I mean, I know some people say Michael King. I would rather Suarez, but at least one of the top free agents and add Tatsuya Amai from Japan, I think that's a pretty solid beginning to putting together a rotation here, factoring in Nolan McLean's going to be here. You're not trading him. You got Clay Holmes still a part of this thing, David Peterson. I think that should be enough for the Mets to go into the season with.
Yeah, I mean, there's options for them, and they need many. What I think is going to be interesting, if McLean really becomes, I think, the star that this young man's destined to be, it becomes a little less important in terms of multiple moves for the Mets. If he has a bit of a step back sophomore season, like Luis Gil did, although he was more impressive than Gil was in totality.
Whatever.
I get you there. But
that's why you can't
count
on
it. Given that, yeah, that's my point. It's not a given he's going to come back and get 30 starts and have a 2.35 ERA and be top three in Cy Young.
But McLean, I just gave you potential options here where you have sign one of the free agents.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Trade for one of those arms. And then if you get a mine, that's three guys on top of Manaea, Holmes, you know, Senga probably on his way out, but whatever. They have some options.
I think there's a lot of options. And I actually think it would be an abject failure on the highest level if Stearns is unable to turn that slop from last year into a top 10 rotation with the options in front of him. I think he's got a lot of good calls.
All right, that does it for us today. Thanks to Dove, as always. Love you, Dove. We appreciate your effort. Hoffy, as always, nice to have him back.
you love everybody now. Love you, Dove.
Dove's not in tomorrow.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes. Yeah,
oh,
okay. And I do love Dove.
I do, too.
All right, thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.